Welcome to the City Club of Eugene's October 20th program. Eugene Street Repair Bond Measure. What is proposed in this round? This is the seventh program in our 2017-2018 programming year. I'm Sandra Bishop, City Club President. The City Club brings together civic-minded people to make Eugene a better place to live, work, and play. We're a member-supported nonprofit. Members have a direct influence on public policy. Become a member of City Club of Eugene at cityclubofeugene.org. Before we get to the program, I have a special announcement to make. Please join us at Think and Drink next Wednesday night, October 25th, at the Davis Restaurant, 94 West Broadway in downtown Eugene. Frank Lawson, the general manager from eWeb, has graciously agreed to join us. It's very informal. It's 5 to 7, happy hour ends at 6, so get there early. And we'll just have some relaxing time to get all of our questions answered if you have questions, and also to give Frank feedback on what's going on with eWeb these days. So everyone is welcome, so bring friends. Support for City Club is provided by our members and sponsors, including Luvas Cobb, Attorneys at Law, Network Charter School, Oregon Country Fair. And a special thank you to our new Sapphire sponsor, Johnson, Johnson, Lucas, and Middleton Law Offices. The law office whose mission is to obtain justice and fair compensation for people who've been harmed because of someone's wrongful conduct. More information may be found at justicelawyers.com. And we'd also like to thank our regular in-kind sponsors, PAC Info, Internet Solutions, and KLCC Radio. KLCC City Club programs are broadcast on public radio station KLCC 89.7 at 6:30 on Mondays following the programs. The coordinator for today's program is John Belcher. We want to really thank John for bringing forth this important discussion. Thank you. And I'd like to turn it over to John to introduce our speakers.
Thank you, Sandra. In the next few days, Eugene voters will receive their ballots in the mail for the November 7th special election. That ballot will contain two items for consideration: 2020-2274, a minor charter amendment, and 2275, a $51.2 million measure that is titled Bonds to Fix Streets, Fund Bicycle and Pedestrian Projects. Our speakers will discuss the bond measure, but first let me take a little time to discuss 2274. This charter amendment is proposed to modify one of the changes we made to the city charter in another citywide vote in 2002. I say we because I was a member of the Charter Review Committee that recommended this change. What we intended to do was shorten the time that a councilor appointed to fill an unexpired vacancy would serve before facing an election. What the committee, the staff that reviewed the proposal, the city council that referred the proposal, and everyone who voted for it didn't realize that it created the conundrum that became obvious when George Poling resigned his council seat a few months ago. By shortening the term of office before the election is required, we created a perfect storm which would require a councilor's replacement to both stand for election to complete the appointed term and at the same time run the regular election opening in the same day. As a result, Jennifer Fry in this case could win the replacement election but not be officially seated as elected if she hypothetically lost the regular election. In essence, the replacement election becomes meaningless. Not good. I haven't done the math, but the city manager assures us that 2274 will fix the problem. Given that I didn't catch the goof the first time, I won't throw my 2 cents in this time. But our speakers are here to talk about the other measure before you, 2275, the bond measure. The announcement you received earlier stated there would be two speakers today, both favoring the measure. That was not our intent, for we tried to reach the two individuals who submitted arguments for the voters' pamphlet in opposition without success at the time you heard your announcement. Fortunately, we eventually connected with one of those individuals, and I'm happy to say we succeeded in bringing both sides to the dais to speak to you today. Let me briefly introduce the three and get out of the way so you can hear what they have to say. Our first speaker, speaking in favor of the measure, is City Councilor Claire Surratt. Claire is serving her second term as City Councilor for Ward 7. She has been a nonprofit executive director, community organizer, union representative, flight instructor, and stage manager. Our second speaker, also speaking in favor, is Brittany Quick Warner. She is the newly appointed executive director of the Eugene Chamber of Commerce. Previously, she was their director of business advocacy, where she led the chamber's public policy and leadership development efforts, including staff support for the Local Government Affairs Council and the board of directors in the arena of public policy. She and her husband also own a local business. Closing out the discussion in opposition will be Andrew Otis Hoschmeyer. Otis has a BA in political science and English from SUNY New York, an MFA in creative writing from the University of Arkansas, and a PhD in English from the University of Tennessee. He has been an Oregon Literary Fellow, a Stenger Fellow at Stanford University, and a Spivey Fellow at the University of Tennessee. He is an environmentalist, bike advocate, and founder of BikeParty.org. Let's begin by hearing Claire speak first. Please welcome them.
Thank you, John, and thank you, City Club, for having us here today to talk about this important topic. And I want to begin by dedicating my remarks today to Kurt Corey, the City of Eugene's longtime Public Works Director, who recently passed away. After leading our city's Public Works Department through the implementation of many signature projects for Eugene, including a significant expansion of our airport and the street repairs funded by our prior road bonds. I chose to make this dedication not just out of sentimental reasons, but because Kurt's leadership was instrumental in ensuring that the tax dollars collected from those two prior bond measures were spent in such a way that not only did the city accomplish all the repairs listed for those bond measures, but in fact his department was able to repair additional streets through savings they realized as they proceeded with the work. Kurt Corey exemplified the kind of dedicated, highly professional, and caring city employee that comprises the majority of our city staff, who are all too often maligned and mistrusted by the public at large, in spite of their many great and unheralded accomplishments in service to our city. When I was a brand new member of the City Budget Committee in 2005, struggling to understand how the city had fallen so far behind in keeping up our streets in good condition, Kurt sat down with me and walked me through the history of our city's road repair funding challenges and the decisions other budget committees and councils had made, which had led to our enormous deficit in road repair funding. Kurt did this without casting blame or attempting to score political points. He just told the story as it had played out and then thanked me for taking the time to learn more about this issue that was so obviously important to him and many in our community. So thank you for being here today, and for those listening on the radio, for taking the time to learn more about this important issue as well. I wish now that I had made a recording of that history lesson Kurt provided me so that I could share his thoughtful and informative explanation with you as he had with me, but instead I'll have to do my best without benefit of Kurt's historical knowledge. And in fact, I feel like we've accomplished so much as a community in the intervening 10 plus years. I think more recent history is actually more relevant to our discussion today. The Eugene City Council has referred to the November ballot a road bond measure that, if passed, will provide for the repair of approximately 160 miles of streets, bike lanes, and pedestrian infrastructure. This $51.2 million bond measure includes a list of the specific projects to be funded, which was developed with input from our standing Road Bond Repair Citizens Advisory Committee, a committee that exists because of the prior decisions voters made regarding road repair funding, and which will also review and report out to the public how the money was actually spent and how the projects were accomplished. This is the same process that was used for both road bond funds. So I want to speak a little bit more about those two prior measures because they show that voters and elected officials can come to agreement, even in times of economic uncertainty, on how to pay for needed improvements in our community. The key provisions in this case, in the case of our road bonds, included providing as much specificity as possible about how the money would be spent, keeping the public informed on the progress of those expenditures, and publishing an independent audit of the expenditures, while also having a citizen panel issue a public report on the results. And all of those reports are available online on the city's website. In other words, accountable government spending in the form of transparent and responsible stewardship of our public dollars with citizen oversight is a winning combination for our community and validates the efforts of those of us who are dedicated to good governance. In 2008, while we were staring into the face of a possible economic depression, the Eugene City Council had the courage to ask voters to approve a $35.9 million general obligation bond to fund street repairs. This was preceded by years of decisions by prior councils and budget committees that had resulted in deferred street maintenance and a deficit of $173 million of needed infrastructure work. The decision to refer the bond measure to the ballot was made after a great deal of study, including the convening of a Council Committee on Transportation Funding and an ad hoc citizen street maintenance task force, both of which considered various options for addressing the backlog. Again, this measure included specific streets, as well as provisions for an external audit and a review of the completed street projects by a citizen panel. This successful passage of the first row bond measure resulted in the repair of 54 streets, as well as a number of off-street paths, and the city was able to actually repair more streets with that measure, in part due to lower cost of construction than expected. The passage of this bond measure was pretty significant considering the free fall that our economy was experiencing at the time and the uncertainty that that created. But a majority of voters believe the city had done its due diligence in looking at many alternative funding options, scoping out the list of city streets so they were equitably distributed throughout the city so every neighborhood might benefit, and ensuring that there was citizen oversight of how the money was spent. In 2012, the city came back to the voters with a very similar bond measure to do some more good work. Same parameters, specific list of streets, citizen review panel, independent financial audit. And with that $43 million measure, we repaired 76 miles of road and also conducted a number of bike and pedestrian infrastructure projects. The combination of those two bond measures reduced our backlog by $79 million. While we still have a $92 million backlog, representing approximately just over 1,300 lane miles, if we had decided not to pass those two prior bond measures, the backlog would be an estimated $280 million, and our streets, bikes, and pedestrian paths would be in very sorry shape. So, just two more paragraphs. The current proposed measure is asking voters to approve a $52.1 million bond that will cost the average property owner $148 a year. The rate is the same as the 2012 measure, but because overall we've experienced an increase in property values, the average property owner will pay about $20 or more than they did under the prior measure. In return, residents will see repairs made to approximately 88 lane miles of road and funding on bicycle and pedestrian projects of an average of $1 million a year to be spent on bicycle and pedestrian path improvements. These projects will be guided by our Citizens Active Transportation Committee, the Bike Pedestrian Master Plan, and anticipated recommendations from our Vision Zero Task Force. So to sum up, these past two road bonds represent the best of what we can accomplish as a community when we invest in good governance. We came together as a community to address the problem of road repair backlog and crafted a solution that involves citizen input all through the process, from helping to select the projects to be funded and reviewing the results of the projects and expenditures after the fact. Our city staff worked with local contractors to ensure that the work was completed as efficiently as possible to realize the greatest benefit. Our track record is excellent in terms of carrying out the work that has benefited neighborhoods throughout the city. We have built trust in our government and in each other while improving, protecting, and enhancing our city's infrastructure. I believe we should be very proud of what we have accomplished as a community with this effort. And I think Kurt Corey would have been too. We have the opportunity to continue this important work with the same level of citizen input and oversight. I hope we will choose to continue this good work and approve this bond measure. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me. Like John said, my name is Brittany Quickwarner, and I am the CEO and president of the Eugene Area Chamber of Commerce. Our chamber is a local nonprofit, like he mentioned, with a mission towards building a stronger and better economy for our community, so businesses and people can thrive. That's ultimately what we're doing here. We have a local government affairs council that meets every Friday morning. Two of your loyal City Club members visit with us and join us every Friday morning. I see you out there. And we, that group is charged from our board of directors. It's made up of members of the chamber to look at different issues that are going on in our community and evaluate them for the good and the bad, and to identify what things should be chamber priorities. And if we do take a priority or take a position on something, then that group helps us advocate for it. So the street repair bond has been an issue that the chamber has supported for the last two bond measures that have been put in front of us. If you remember back in 2008, during the mayoral elections, this was a big issue for a lot of the candidates who are running. The streets were in disarray. There were a lot of potholes. People were not happy with the state of our current roads. And so this street repair bond was put together because we had over $200 million in backlog of street repairs that needed to be done. The bond was put together, and our chamber supported that initial bond, and then subsequently after that, the 2012 bond. This year, when it came in front of us, the group asked a lot of the same questions. They wanted to know, how is it going to improve? Are the funds going to be used in a way that we can predict and that we can hold people accountable for? And is it actually going to accomplish what we want to do? And after evaluating and listening and learning from the folks who are putting this forward, and reaching out to other businesses to find out if this still is a priority, our group came together and said, yes, we want to support this measure. So they put, you know, a handful of things forward as why they were going to support it. The first one is that the past two bonds were successful. So there's a reason to celebrate that they did what they said they were going to do. And that gave us the hope that this next bond would be the same. We needed to keep decreasing this backlog. Like I said, there was over $200 million in backlog in 2007. And the last two bonds have cut that in half. So we were making progress, and that's been a successful effort. We want to make sure that there's accountability built in. There's a low level of trust right now for our local government, and we want to make sure that this bond being out there looking at the voters is something that we can assure and that we can make sure that there's going to be accountability, and we felt like that was built in. We need to get people and goods and services on the roads. We want people moving, and this is going to help us continue to do that. It's important to businesses that we have good, strong roads that can support what they're trying to do, but just as important that their employees can get to the jobs, that our families can get around our community, that our kids are safe when they're on their way to school. So that was a big part of this as well. And that it supports our multimodal transportation system that we're trying to build ourselves towards. It increases the percentage that's going towards the bike and pedestrian projects in our community from 6.5 to 10%. About $1 million a year is going to be dedicated to bike and pedestrian projects that our bike and pedestrian panel has prioritized for our community. So those were the main reasons that our group supported it. And just a little bit of background about some of those and maybe some questions or answers to the questions that we had that I can share with you all. So how large was the backlog and how are we going to get towards it? I kind of answered that. It was about $200 million. We've cut that in half to $100 million over the last two bonds. It pays back almost 4 to 1 to fix a street before it falls into disrepair, to maintain it and to make small repairs along the way, as opposed to having to completely reconstruct it. Were they successful? Yes, we believe that they were, that the past two bonds were successful. They had 32 projects on the list, and because of the savings that they were able to accomplish, 22 additional projects were completed for a total of 54. So what about gas taxes? Folks ask that. Well, don't we have a gas tax that's going towards helping to fix our streets? We do, and that money will continue to do that. About $3 million per year of our local gas tax helps to fund those road projects, so that's not going to go away. They questioned, you know, why why would this money not come out of a general fund? Why does it have to be a separate bond? And ultimately, what we came back to see is that by having this be a separate bond with an auditor that looks at this bond and looks at the process that we're going through here, we actually have a higher level of accountability that we're voting for something that we know our dollars are going towards, and that we can measure it, and that there's a citizens panel who's reviewing these projects and they're reviewing the bond process so they know that it's actually going for what we are voting for. What about safety? I think safety is a really big issue, and it's going to continue to be so. And road safety, you know, our community has circled around Vision Zero as a priority for us. This just helps supplement that, right? We need safe streets. The streets need to be safe to drive on if we're going to help improve the safety of our community as well. So John's throwing me a couple of fingers, so I just want to wrap up and say that, you know, we really dug into this and we realized that the accountability is there. We feel strongly that the folks who are overseeing this project, they can be held accountable for what they're doing, that the projects are lined out. We can see exactly where the money's going, and that we have to continue to chip away at this backlog, or we're going to build ourselves out to a bigger issue down the road if we don't continue to work towards it now. So I appreciate it, and I hope you all will support this measure.
Hi, I'm Otis Hoschmeyer. I can tell my comments are going to be a lot different than the ones that have come before. I woke up this morning, I don't know, it was just kind of after a dark night of the soul. I was like, what am I doing? I got involved in this issue, I don't know, in August when I sort of mistakenly saw the bond measure on the internet. And that was during the days, remember, when there was smoke everywhere. And I was really disheartened by that smoke. I like to ride my bicycle. I couldn't ride my bicycle. I've had to cancel soccer practice for my daughter because of smoke. But this morning, I was like, I don't know what I get myself involved in. I'm not political. And I remember in 1992, James Stockdale, he said in his debate, his VP debate, he said, "Who am I? Why am I here?" It was a tragic moment for him. He was done. But I've actually always thought that was a great question. You know, that was a brave question to ask. So I asked myself that question this morning. And I wrote this, and I wrote it until 11:30 when I was supposed to be here, and then I rushed down, and now I'm reading it to you. I came to it first by accident. I read this measure as a person who rides bikes and takes my kids to school on my bike, as a person who has nearly been run down in the cross street of Blair and 7th because of sensors that control the yellow light that didn't pick up my triple tandem on which I had my daughters 9 and 6. I come to this as a person who has been aggressively passed and honked at. I've been yelled at. As a person whose partner just yesterday on Monroe was aggressively tailgated by a car across 6th while she had my daughter, 6, and her friend Maya in a burly trailer behind her bike. I didn't know I was going to write that this morning and that Zondi and my daughter and Maya were going to be here. But we're talking about a car trailing their little trailer. Right? Like that, at Zondi, riding her bike on the street. I come here as a person who called the city asking for a crosswalk on West 11th outside my house, where my children cross to go to the park at Monroe. And I was told that more people are hit in crosswalks without them than without them. More people are hit by having a crosswalk. I come here as a person who asked for speed limit signs after Monroe on 11th and was told that 6 blocks away was good enough. So I put up my own speed limit sign, reminding drivers that it was supposed to be 30 miles per hour by my house. And then I was the person in my home office every morning who heard someone drive by and yell "faggot" at my house. Then in the midst of that, I knew this was going to happen. I was the person who was called from my daughter's preschool and asked where my daughter was. I was the person who knew they'd left the house just 15 minutes before on a 10-minute drive. I was the person who had an appointment
who said, "I'm sure they'll be there any minute." I was a person who then pulled away from the curb, and before I turned south, then east, saw up ahead maybe 5 blocks flashing red lights. I was the person who put one and one together. I was the person who drove 5 blocks towards those red lights. So, I'm sorry, but how many of you know what that is like? I am here as the person who pulled over and ran before I even saw our smashed Subaru, hit while my partner was stopped at the stoplight at Polk by a driver with a kid in his car checking his iPhone. He was driving a Toyota Camry. They were driving in a Subaru. He hit my partner and daughter at 30 miles per hour. So I come here as a person who knows a little about physics, who knows that the only reason they lived was because they were in cars of equivalent weight. The person who knows that if that car had been a big honking SUV, they would be dead. Or if they'd been on a bike. I come here as a person who thinks drivers, all of whom are clamoring for safe streets, have no idea at all how vulnerable bicyclists are. I mean, painted lanes on streets does not protect bicyclists from being killed. When a car has a fender bender with a bicyclist, the bicyclist dies. I come here as a person who, even in the midst of all that, whose Subaru disappeared from in front of our house, was still called a faggot each morning, until one morning I chased that person down. I didn't know what would happen. I didn't know if I might get shot, but I wanted that to stop. So I come here as a person, a father with a great love for the bicycle, who would like to instill that love in my daughters, because I know biking is great and the right choice for our environment. The person who went out and bought a huge minivan with a 5-star safety rating, just like many of you probably have. A person who said, "I can't do it that way, so I'm going to be part of the problem." So I read the caption, bonds to fix streets, fund bicycle and pedestrian projects. I was excited because I thought my dream for safer streets was going to come true. Because safer streets for bicyclists meant safer paths for cars, meant separate paths from cars that are convenient and central, and I knew that would require a serious commitment and money, and I thought Eugene had that commitment. But as I read, and when I sorted out the fuzzy math, I realized I'd been tricked. I saw that the measure wasn't promising equal funds to fixing streets and bicycle and pedestrian projects, but $44 million to paving streets, $5.5 million for bicycle infrastructure, $5.5 million for pedestrian projects, and an equal $5.5 million was going to be paid to Wall Street and the most wealthy investors, because they are the ones that buy municipal bonds in a $3.8 trillion industry. So maybe I come here as a writing teacher and a professor who I guess has a particular skill set, my ability to analyze language, who thought that skill set might be useful to my community. I thought if I let people know that the city was not asking us a question so much as selling us the answer, which is yes, if you haven't guessed, the people would rightfully be upset. I thought if they saw that they were not really being given a choice, but only the illusion that we were choosing, there might even be outrage. I thought if people knew, they wouldn't stand for it. So I'm saying I thought I'd come here as a person who thought the city government would serve the people, and in a vote, ask for our input, asking us a legitimate question which the answer was not a foregone conclusion. But what I found is that I'm arriving somewhat different. I can tell you now, if you were wondering, at least out of all this, I've come away with a little insight that I know that I've come here and I'm actually a fool. I've asked a question, why are we having a special election that is costing Eugene $250,000? And I get the answer, because we must. I asked a question, why has the city misrepresented this measure? Why have they made it look green and environmentally responsible when in fact it is a paving project? And I get the answer, because that's what they had to do. I asked the question, why are we buying a loan from Wall Street only to tax residents of Eugene to pay it back plus $2.5 million in interest, the same amount as bike infrastructure will get? Why? And I get the answer, sure, it's bad, we understand, but we have to. There's nothing to be done. For every question, there is an answer, don't worry about it. It's okay. What are you so upset about? So I come here as a person who realizes he's been a fool. I see a problem. My mind won't be changed about that. I see a problem, and we are seeing the fruits of that problem, that dysfunction in a continuing environmental disaster, in an economic disaster, in, frankly, President Trump. I do see the problem in 85 people having more wealth than the lower half of the entire population, 3.5, nearly 4 billion people. And I see that we, Eugene, when we do business this way, when we say we have to buy bonds because there's nothing we can do about it, we're part of the problem. I see that our problem is just this convenient idea that there's nothing we can do. So who am I and why am I here? It's a great question. I think I'm a person teetering on the brink of despair. I'm a person who feels nearly absolutely defeated by this system, with its inside and outside, its otherizing, and most of all, its classism, which is just a false division into winners and losers. Where the winner takes as much as he or she can, this machine politics that supports a machine economy that is hurling us towards further disaster, and we're all gonna lose. So I come here as a person who is hearing a lot that there is nothing that can be done, and I'm saying I think there's something that can. So, all the details aside, who gets what, this amount of money here or there, my needs versus your needs, all that aside, we don't need to argue or fight about it. I believe Eugene can have a win-win. I really do. But the city of Eugene should not be buying bonds. Keep our money in our community. If there is a problem raising funds, so that we can all have the things that will make us happy, let us work it out. I'm for raising funds. I want positive outcomes, like everyone. I'm for being happy. I'm not for sending money to New York. That's all. So, to the question, should the city of Eugene buy $51.2 million in bonds? My answer is no.
Thank you. Now we'll take a break for about 5 minutes to formulate questions from each table and then return with audience questions. Remember, only City Club members are allowed to ask questions at the microphone. Thank you.
This is KLCC Eugene 89.7, KLCO Newport 90.5, 89.1 KLFR Reedsport, and at 88.1 KLFO Florence, KMPQ Roseburg, KLBR Bend. KLCC is a service of Lane Community College. We're on Facebook and Twitter and online at klcc.org.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the October 20th City Club program. Eugene Street Repair Bond Measure. What is proposed in this round? City Club is a nonprofit organization. Support for City Club is provided by our members and sponsors, including Luvas Cobb, Attorneys at Law, Network Charter School, Oregon Country Fair, and one of our new Sapphire sponsors, Johnson Johnson, Lucas and Middleton Law Offices. And a special thanks to our in-kind sponsors, University of Oregon Academic Extension, here our venue here at the UO Baker Center, Dot Dotson's Photography, and KRVM 91.9 Radio. Before we go to member questions, please remember to keep your questions short and to the point. Thank you.
Karen Seidel, City Club member. I skimmed through the voters' pamphlet yesterday and saw very detailed information about which streets would be improved if the measure passes. I didn't notice anything about what bike paths, bike lanes, pedestrian improvements would be made. Could you enlighten us?
Sure. So, Councillor Syrett speaking here. So we have an active transportation committee, which up until recently was called the Bicycle Pedestrian Advisory Committee. And they will be working with city staff to help identify the projects that will be funded for the bike ped. But also, when we do street repairs, we look for opportunities to do improvements, particularly for pedestrian crossings, that increase overall safety for both pedestrians and travel lanes. So that's the expectation of how the specific projects for bike paths will be and pedestrian paths will be selected, is through that active transportation committee, which is a voluntary committee that folks can participate in and helps inform these kinds of pieces. The other thing I wanted to mention in terms of just the overall bond measures that we've done in the past, when we do a street repair, it's an opportunity for restriping and to reconsider some of the things that one of our speakers, Otis, mentioned about crosswalks. So we'll use some of those funds to improve crosswalks, to improve pedestrian signaling at crosswalks, and also in some cases to restripe lanes in such a way that it actually encourages people to drive more slowly, which is one of the ways that we can reduce serious injuries or fatal collisions on our streets.
Yes, Sandra Erickson, City Club member. I have a question probably mostly for Otis, and that is, can you suggest another governmental structure that would enable people to be locally taxed, retain that tax in the community, and used exclusively for a certain purpose? Now, I know that there is such a thing as special districts for fire districts, school districts, things like that. And also, can the city comment on whether or not structuring this all differently is possible?
Okay, thank you for that question. This is Otis Hoshmar speaking. That is way outside of my skill set. I'm a writing teacher and a writer, so I don't really know how to restructure the tax system. I'm pretty sure that having something like a carbon tax would at least put the onus of responsibility, you know, for repairing the streets on those who are damaging the streets. So I think that would be a great idea. So I'll leave it with that.
So, Councillor Surrett, again, if you were asking if there's another way to restructure the bond measure so that the payment on interest stays here in our community, I cannot answer that. I am also not the tax expert for the City of Eugene. I will say that before the 2008 bond measure was put forward, the city did quite a lot of due diligence, both within the City Council and with citizen advisory members, to explore other ways to fund these repairs. Prior to that, the repairs are just getting deferred and deferred and deferred. So you can peel parts of your general fund to do that, and that doesn't create debt. You can try to increase the gas tax, which has its own implications. And actually right now, in terms of interest rates on bonds, it's a very cheap time to borrow money as opposed to other times where interest rates were much higher. So I think the between the City Council and the Citizen Review Group, they landed on this as the most viable option, the most practical way to address the backlog and try to reduce it.
Thank you for coming today. I'm Paul Thompson, City Club member for some time. I'm asking a question on behalf of one of the guests here today. It's actually a two-part question, and it focuses on this active transportation committee, which is explicitly called out in the bond measure as one of the two participants, along with staff, to designate what the pedestrian and bicycle things will be. And his question, again, it's two parts, is How are the people selected? I know that you indicated that that was a voluntary thing, but there must be some vetting process that people go through and so on. So the first part is, how are they selected? The second part is, once they are on the committee, how do we get assurance that the process that they're engaging in is transparent and democratic?
Those are excellent questions. I cannot answer them all. So again, Councillor Syrett, I am not intimately familiar with the selection and appointment process for that committee. There are some folks in the room who are active on that committee and can answer that question. But all of our city council committees issue minutes, agendas, and typically notice the meetings so that if you want to drop in and attend and listen in on the conversation, you have that opportunity. My best recommendation is to go to the City of Eugene website and search for Active Transportation Committee. And if I'd had a second, I would have done that right now to see if I could see what the selection and appointment process was. I don't know it off the top of my head. But that is publicly available information. And I encourage folks who have concerns about the balance of priorities in terms of asphalt versus protected bikeways, that getting involved in the Active Transportation Committee is an excellent way to make your voice heard and to join with others who share those concerns. We have a very vocal Active Transportation Committee and other folks in our community who are not affiliated with it, who bring these issues forward to council and our Public Works Department all the time. It's much appreciated.
Bob Cassidy, City Club member. I would like clarification on the bonding issue itself. We bond so that we get a chunk of money right now and pay it off in the future. The previous bonds that we have approved, are they paid off at this point, or are we multiplying that?
That's an excellent question. Again, Councillor Syrett. So the 2008 bond has been repaid, is my understanding. That tax is no longer on the books for folks. The 2012 bond measure will expire in 2018. We'll no longer be collecting that tax. The expenditures on that are not all done. We're still using some of that money. And then the next bond measure money would be available for road repair season, as we call it, in 2019. So we are not compounding on property owners. The taxes are expiring.
Sandy Smalley, our table was questioning primarily for you, Otis. If this fails, do you have a suggestion for how we might fund, particularly the pedestrian and bicycle safety issues that you're most concerned about?
Thank you for that question, Otis Hoschmeyer. Well, again, I'm not a political person, so I don't know exactly how these processes take place. But I think that what we have to do is we have to have it fail, and then we have to sit down at the table and work through these difficult problems. The way I see it is having these sort of easy answer bond loans, you know, from New York, where we're going to be paying interest. I think it's just that. It's easy. It's the way things have been done. It's the status quo. It's perpetuating what we already have. And I think we have to say that that's a problem. The way we're doing it is a problem. And so let's not perpetuate it. Let's stop that, and now let's sit down. There is going to be, you know, some hurt involved with that. You know, people are going to be, oh, my street isn't repaired. You know, so then you'll sit down, and then we'll talk, and then we'll fund our own projects, and we'll pay for things ourselves, and keep our money in the community and get the value out of that. That's what I think we should do. I was remembering my grandfather. Actually, he was a Republican, and I did not appreciate his politics very much. But he used to, he was so proud when he went to buy a car, he would be like, I paid cash on the barrel head, he used to say. So let's figure out how we can pay cash on the barrel head for what we want.
Thank you. Since we have a little bit of time, I'm going to interject with a question. This is Sandra Bishop, City Club member. One of the issues that comes up time and again for bicyclists is the danger of riding in striped lanes. As a bicyclist who used to commute to work and for decades did not own a car, when I'm riding on a street, I take the lane because that's the safest way to ride. So was there any discussion about the fact that the city continues to spend money putting striping on streets? Was there any discussion in this bond measure preparation that had to do with actually addressing the safety of bicyclists?
Well, again, Councillor Syrett, so in terms of the City Council's discussion, it was really around, we've got our backlog, we explored the options in the past on where to move forward in terms of funding. So the City Council's discussion was around the funding question, not around the specifics of the projects. But again, as I referenced the Active Transportation Committee, that is the place where we look for guidance on what are the infrastructure needs to create more safety for folks who use bicycles as their primary or secondary means of transportation. So if there are opportunities for protected bikeways, that those cost more than striping, so you can't build as many of them if you choose to use the money that way, but that is one potential option. I do know that in the money that we get through state funding, we are actually proposing to build a protected bikeway, I believe along the Amazon corridor, but I apologize, I may not have that detail correct. And that's going to be our first protected bikeway in the city of Eugene. Now, there is some controversy as you do these projects, and in some cases you have to remove parking from the streets, you have to impact the streets in other ways that affect other users of the streets who may not be happy with those changes. So we're always in this effort to meet the needs of everyone who uses our streets, and it's a constant dialogue and conversation to do that.
Thank you.
Hello, my name is Shanda Miller. I'm the former Lane County Performance Auditor, and I'm a guest here tonight, and I was told there was time for guests to have a question. So I released a county audit on road maintenance last spring, and this bond solution looks like a worst first approach, which is actually the most expensive way to maintain your roads. So my question for Claire would be, has the city also come up with enough, I suppose, adequate budget for preventive maintenance moving forward, like crack sealing and surface sealing, in addition to the repair work? Because if not, you're just gonna continue to throw money at the worst first. And like I said, that's what I found in my research, that was the most expensive way to maintain roads. Thank you.
Thank you, Shanda. If you're saying the worst first in terms of fixing the worst streets first, well, I am not the head of public works, so I can only share what knowledge I do have as an active member of the community and a member of the city council. But the gas tax goes to some of those more minor repairs. If a street falls into full disrepair, then we have to do a full rebuild, which is very expensive. And these bond measures have been used to ensure that we have fewer roads that fall into that state of major disrepair, so that we're preventing, in theory, greater costs in the future. But in terms of a consistent resource in order to do this repair work that helps prevent, you know, problems with the automobiles that go over them, streets falling into such bad repair that they need to be rebuilt, the bond measure has been, for our community, a viable solution. Whether it's the best, most wonderful solution, I am not the one to answer that. That is for the city voters to answer at this point. If this bond measure fails, will it be dire consequences for our community? Frankly, the answer is no. But we will stop making the forward progress that we've made on the street repairs, which are very important to our quality of life. And for those of us who were here before those street repairs started and driving around, they were a constant issue for daily life. So I'm not going to pretend that the sky is falling, but we would really halt significant and good progress that we have made as a community. And I think that the voters are being offered a choice. I disagree with one of our other speakers who says it's a false choice. We do have a choice. But if we don't pass this bond measure, our backlog will continue to grow again.
Otis wants to answer as well. Thanks.
It's something I was thinking about a little bit. I really appreciate your question. It seems to me that we're caught in something of a vicious cycle. The way to engage in preventative street maintenance is to reduce traffic. And that requires investing in alternative transportation. I mean, I think to myself, we have public transportation. I don't quite know why that isn't free. You know, I don't know why we're not trying to encourage people to use public transportation actively, get people on the buses. I think we need to build safe bicycle infrastructure. Because the objective isn't to keep me happy on my bicycle, the objective is to get people who are driving now to ride bicycles. And they're not going to ride bicycles or engage in other kinds of transportation as long as it's more convenient and safer for them to be in their car. They're going to stay in their car. I take my daughters to school in the morning, and I can, and it's congested in the morning going to school. And please, anyone go and watch all the minivans that pull up to any school. And you can also, aside from the minivans, which have parents and kids, you can also point at all the cars of people going downtown that are filled with single drivers. And I was going down with my daughters, one driver in a car, a ton of metal and plastic. The objective is to try and get 20%, maybe more, of people who are driving like that on bicycles instead, and that will preserve the streets.
Ruth Daimler, and my question goes along with street repair too. And of course, a carbon tax would be the greatest to solve this. But my question is the weight that's put on our streets. I understand the weight that's put on the streets in Oregon is totally different from the weight that's put on streets in Washington or California. And that includes the three-wheel truck. But I was wondering if you knew the differences and why we have the heaviest trucks on the West Coast. And I understand that really deteriorates our streets and should not be allowed. Thank you.
So this is Councilor Surratt. I am unable to answer that question, and I don't know that anyone on the panel is qualified to do so. Sorry, Ruth.
And I have another question that was submitted earlier. This is Sandra Bishop, City Club member. Some people have noticed that a lot of the damage on some of the neighborhood streets is coming from the LTD buses. And so the question is, does LTD pay anything into the fund for streets, or is the city paying for all those repairs on the streets that have the heavy bus, old style bus loads on them?
Again, this is Councilor Surratt. I actually do not know if LTD makes any specific contribution to the streets. I mean, they are a government entity, so they aren't subject to a tax per se. I'm not sure how one discerns that it's the buses that are causing the damage that folks are seeing. Our traditional buses, have been on the streets for many, many years. The MX implementation, they paid for the concrete as opposed to regular asphalt for some of the routes because that was required for the larger, heavier MX bus rapid transit. And so that's to protect those streets and have them be useful for many, many years going forward while the MX travels those lanes. So that's the extent of my knowledge towards that question.
Thank you, great. So if any of the speakers have any wrap-up remarks or anything, I know we didn't hear a lot from Ms. Quick-Warner. So. Okay, we have one more question. Thank you.
I'm Joel Curran, City Club member, and I'm asking this on behalf of a guest. How do you reconcile Councilman Styrett's concern about, quote, bigger problem down the road, end quote, as to the deficit for road repair and the even bigger problem of the entire economic governance machine, which perpetuates what we might call the status quo?
Well, I don't, I, I have to say, I don't actually think that's a fair question for this forum. That could be an entire three City Club programs, and I'm not prepared to deconstruct our whole economic system today. So again, we are faced with choices as a community. We have chosen this particular style of government. We have, I think, worked very hard to make this particular road bond question a process in which citizens have input on the front end in terms of helping determine what projects would be included in the bond measure, and on the back end in determining and reviewing, even so going out onto the street to look at the street repair that was accomplished with the road bond. And I believe within the confines of what we've chosen as a community and how we participate in our government and our economic life, these are the choices that we have. If others want to find other ways to carry out this work and have that conversation, I think that is a worthy conversation to have. I just wanted to say, in response to Otis's remark, that one way to reduce wear and tear on our streets is to encourage folks to use alternative transportations. I couldn't agree more. And we actually do have a very active department in the city of Eugene that works very hard to direct people to other ways to get around town besides getting into their single occupancy vehicle. It's called Point to Point. And then LTD also works very hard to get people into their buses. And in fact, the creation of the MX was inspired by trying to do just that. As far as making bus passes free, again, that's a cost. We would have to find the place to pay for those. The buses do need to have some revenue in order to operate, but I agree, and I think this community really appreciates the opportunities to get out of their cars and use other modes of transit.
We just have about 1 minute to wrap
Thanks.
Up.
I'm just going to kind of weigh in on a final point here. So this particular bond, I think it's important to not get mixed up with a lot of the other transportation system issues that are completely valid and worth discussion. I think getting folks into bicycles, those sorts of things. We have an infrastructure that our community has built. It is already there. The street bond will not build new roads. This is strictly to maintain and repair the roads that we already have built. So if we are to ignore the roads that we already have built, what we're doing is setting up future generations to have to make a harder decision about what they're going to do with those roads that are already built. So I think that over time, we can adopt best practices as far as bicycle lanes, the way that we pave, the materials that we use to pave those streets. All of those things can be adopted and adjusted over time as we continue to repair and maintain the roads that we currently have. Just because we have this money now doesn't mean we have to use the same methods that we've always used to repair or to maintain those roads. But this particular bond is to make sure the roads that we currently have right now do not continue to go into disrepair, and that we actually try to catch up on the backlog that we have.
Thank you. Good note to end on. Before we thank our speakers today, there's a few quick announcements. We want to thank public radio station KLCC 89.7 for airing City Club programs on Mondays at 6:30 p.m. And thank you to Community Television of Lane County, Cable Channel 29, for televising recent City Club programs. And remember, join us for the Think and Drink with Frank Lawson, eWeb General Manager, next Wednesday night, 5 to 7, October 25th. At the Davis Restaurant downtown. And next week's forum on October 27th will be a very good program on examining income inequality in Oregon. So join us for that. For more details, go to cityclubofeugene.org. And I'd like to thank our speakers, Brittany Quick Warner, Claire Surrett, and Otis Hashmeyer. Thank you so much for coming today. Thank you. That concludes today's program.